Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Well, I can tell you, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Nasheeda, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the birth of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us send darood upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to share a story with you this morning, Ahmad Parak. You know what happens? Our engineer generally calls the guest, and the guest, yeah, you know, he gets them ready, you know, you're ready for your segment, and, you know, Uncle Shafat is ready for you, and so forth. They have a chat, and this morning, when Lucky spoke to Ahmad Parakirakan, how? Hey, Lucky, what are you doing there? He doesn't know that Lucky, you know, Lucky and I are quite blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We on various platforms. So Ahmad was expecting that, but he's happy. We all happy. Ahmad Parak, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another beautiful Sunday morning with the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. What better day can you get, Shafar? Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another day, Shafar.
No, absolutely. And tell me about that experience you had with Lucky. Because you and Lucky, you're virtually spark each other. Tell me that experience you had this morning.
When I heard his voice this morning, I said, oh, what happened here, Lucky? He said, no, I'm all over. I said, oh, watch out, there's conflict of interest here. You know me, I'm a half lawyer. Eh? Watch out, this matter mustn't come before me, Lucky. He just laughed.
Okay. Yeah, but, you know, the Islamic radio station, we all follow, you know, Atiullah, Atiur Rasul, obey Allah, obey the messenger. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're under one flag. So you know, maybe the other way, you'll get away. But, you know, in my mitigation, I hope I gave a good evidence that, no, I don't think so. We are all one. Even you too, Ahmad. Yeah, you're such a team man. With your la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, you can be action essay. But in your hearts of hearts, you are a Musalman that serves the people, you know, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we embrace and celebrate you. Looking at kafan dafan, we know, you know, we come in this dunya. Every person that comes in this dunya will make a parda one day. And there too, you have made, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, in your lifetime, you have made a name that will be remembered for many, many, many years. Talk to us, what's happening in the world of kafan dafan, Ahmad?
Shafar, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everything is very, very quiet. Yesterday, I was with the Durban and Overport burial servers with Ibrahim Randari too. So, you know, we went through a few things. You know, there is few one or two gray areas which we will be discussing in this coming week. We want to have a meeting between all the role players, Islamic Burial Council, some of the burial societies, that there is issues with government departments which I will be able to take it up for them. And then, alhamdulillah, with that, of Allah, everything is so far so good. You know, there's no major problems or anything. There's nothing. You cannot say there's shortage of graves for us because we have already been covered, because we've got private cemeteries, we've got cemeteries. For the next 15 years, we don't have to worry because we recycle. So Allah has blessed us. We have put a good foundation that is carrying us through now. Inshallah, in the next 2-3 months, then the Rescue 786 is going to be operating in Durban and surrounding. That is going to be another complement to the very elderly, the very sick, for intertransfers from hospital to one hospital to another. So that is going to be another complement to the city, to this community, to assist them, to expedite with a proper service, you know, with one number you dial and you'll be able to pick up the patient from your house, from the hospital, and take them to wherever where they need the proper medical attention and service. So that's what we are in for. That is one aspect. And then the last one is, well, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me from the dunya, I want to open a fully fledged hospice that, you know, where we can bring our people there, our community, where they need attention for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or whatever, and then take them home again and give them the therapy from there onward, make it easier for them. These are the things that we have got lined up, inshallah, Shabarud. With the help of Allah, whatever you do only for His pleasure, it must come together, Shabarud.
No, alhamdulillah, it must come together, and Allah has got you connected also. And, you know, your name, alhamdulillah, is a very credible one. Looking at the message here on the screen, Lucky has just typed it here. Tayyip says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. You had a lovely function last week there at the Phoenix, and I really enjoyed the interview with the brother that you conducted. Tell us how it went there, and I want to know the latest when it comes to our relationship with our African brothers in Kwamashu. Are we taking good care of them? Because the bottom line, Ahmad, is the Fulus is with us. Ahmad, how do you respond to Thayer?
So first and foremost, we must make it very, very clear that, you know, you can have all the Fulus in the world. You can have all the ammunition in terms of wealth. But when the time comes, when your debt comes, that Fulus is no help to no one, because end of the day, that poor person is being taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one. Secondly, when it comes to the outer areas, especially in the black townships and everything else, we are so well geared up, Shafaq. We do not need to worry. There's no fear. Our vehicles can go out there. And when they see our vehicles, you know, Muslim burial service, and they don't question us or anything like that, because, you know, most of the burial, non-Muslim burial societies and the parlors, they assist our organization, because sometimes we come to a stage, even if it's the natural causes where the body has to go to Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, we do not have storage space or anything like that. So we use them because there's no flight over the weekend, or the flights are full, the cargo section is full. There is no space at all for that cargo to go down to Bangladesh or Pakistan, especially mainly Pakistan, India, Bangladesh. Our bodies keep going on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis. And Shafat, you will find that all these non-Muslim burial society, because we've got a relationship and I'm the vice chairman of the organization, there's no such thing, no to me or any one of the burial society. They'll say, just bring it in, we will store it for you. Normally, if it's for anybody else, they will charge anything between 5 to 1,000 rands per day for storage for a body. But for us, it's absolutely free. So this is how we work closely with the non-Muslim undertakers as well. So this is, alhamdulillah, it's another sign that, you know, Allah has made it easy for us to interact with our non-Muslim brothers to, and where we're getting this assistance from them, Shafat.
Yeah, this is what I like of you. You're not burning bridges. And that's why that I remember that you brought him once, one of that undertakers. He'd got the biggest water cold room and so forth. And he used to call you, he said, Dada. He called you Dada, Ahmad.
Yeah, he called me Maharaj, Rakesh Maharaj from Itigwini Funeral Service. Now, he won't do anything if he don't come to me first, Shafat. He will first take my advice if you want to even put up a building, put up a cold room, or you want to expand, if you want to bring additional hearses for the non-Muslim undertakers and all that. You always consult with me. You know, it's just a... he confines in me in terms of assistance, and he knows whatever I want to tell him is going to be the truth. It's not going to hurt him or come and bite him later.
No, absolutely brilliant. And you know, when you embrace and celebrated, you put a smile on our dial too, and especially me. You know, that's, hey, but chef, you and you know, Ahmad, that's the way he, Ahmed and I grew up together. So we are more than brothers. We are more than brothers. We are divinely picked. And, you know, Allah is using us both in our fields. And Ahmed, you know, we talk about all these different types of issues coming through. And, you know, you look at the Kabristan. But, you know, we have to hand it to the to people like yourselves, that our Kabristan, mashallah, 9 out of 10, they're in, you know, powerful condition. The grass is trimmed. Everything looks tranquil. You can feel the peace and the serenity. And we also notice that even the crime rate has gone down now, Ahmad.
So alhamdulillah, we have tightened as far as that is concerned in terms of security and getting Metro Police as well as the South African Police to clean up that area where it is, where we normally go take our loved ones to the Kabristan. So that area has been sorted out now. So we haven't heard anything in the last 6 months or anything. So alhamdulillah, Allah has made it easy for us. So there's, you know, there's free access. Even if you take last night, Bashapir, you know, our Brook Street Cemetery was open right till 12 last night. So we never have any incidents or anything like that. So, you know, these are the things that we have put in place. So now we're getting, you know, so we have put in place so that it's easier for us for access to get in there late hours at the night as well.
You know, what I'm thinking, you need to bring AV in one day. You know, you and AV do an interview on Marcus Sahaba on one of our segments. You know, I talked about how you and AV as a team, how you ran Brook Street, how you ran that cemetery. And you all did many things together. You know, I think you earmarked him as your vice chairman and all that. You know, so keep that in the back of your mind, because we got about 30 seconds to go before the news. What's your thoughts on that?
Yes, it's a good idea, Shafat. One day, you know, everybody's too busy with his 1860 heritage, and he's got, now they have bought the building right next door, Madrasa Arcade. They have, you know, Juma Masjid Trust bought that. So I think he's got a lot on his plate. And, you know, I've been speaking to him on Thursday and Friday that, you know, to assist him in few things in Juma, with the Juma Masjid as well as the Madrasa Arcade with council and all that. So he's under a little bit of pressure at the moment, but I will have a chat with him sometime.
Okay, you can take the pressure out of him. Yeah. I know you got a way of doing it, Ahmed. Ahlan wa sahlan
marhaba. Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Yes, Ahmed, listening to Uwais Mujaki, very high powered news. Looks like he used high octane this morning and already flying around. What caught your eye, Ahmed?
Well, Shafat, you know, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, that is, you know, I think they're going to make the biggest mistake. In fact, now you're going to find the rising of the neighboring countries regarding that the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. That is going to be a major, major issue that they're going to be having in their hands. And then the United States, the Biden want to stand for the next term of election at the age of 82. And that is a problem, in fact, yeah, in our country as well. They have approached former President Zuma at the age of 80 to come back to stand for election. So, you know, I can't understand how that can be. You know, I think the time has come. I think in every country, they should have put a restriction on what age you can become a president of the country or a prime minister of a country, because, you know, you bring old people, rather bring somebody youngsters into the political field, and then we will get some work done, because, you know, at the end of the day, some of these presidents, the sell-by date is already gone long ago, and they are still in power there, and this is just not right, Shafat.
And now you talk about the sell-by date, and they're trying and make everything, you know, better for the family members. They bring the daughters in, they bring the sons in, and they bring the cousins in, and so forth. And all that is, but yeah, unfortunately, you know, you're looking around the world, you know, this type of thing, the nepotism is coming through, and the cronyism, and, you know, bringing friends in into this position. But this, things will carry on. As I look at a message that's coming through here, it says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed Parak, Shafat Ahmed Khan, and the Marcus Sahaba team. Jazakallah khair for lovely programming. We enjoyed the Sira program of Mufti A.K. Hussein. Damat Barakatum. And Brother Shafat, I want to tell Ahmed Parak that it is the holidays time. And in my area, it's sad to see that small children now are jumping the fence and picking things up from the yard. It is such a difficult condition and sad time that even if we scold these children, they bring adults to come and scream at our gates. What are our rights, Ahmed? As ratepayers, we feel like prisoners in our own suburbs. Please help. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shafat, in cases like that, it's very, very simple. Firstly, you have to report this matter. If you report this matter, you report it to the first and foremost, you report it to South African Police Services. Then you can also report it to the Metro Police. They will be able to help you. And thirdly, you send a letter to the council as well. And once you do that, then you have got a better ground, and then you clean up. And I think the time has come now. Everywhere this system which we are putting, adopt a street. Now, once that adopt a street comes into play in the next couple of months, it's going to be much easier. So everyone in that street, you'll have the names, you'll have like a small database, how many people in that area, everything they will adopt, and they will keep the area clean. They will work closely with the council, and then the council, what they will do is they will give you an area manager, which is easier. So you report all your issues to him. It will make it easier for us at council where the major problems are. These area managers then report to the city manager and to our committees. You know, we've got different committees. We've got parks, we've got sanitation, we've got electricity, all different departments. And he will tell us exactly where the problems are. And then there we will be able to analyze and help the community in getting the roads sorted out if there's verges to be sorted out. And that way, so the community works with the council hand, you know, they're taking, council taking their hand and the community taking the council's hand and working hand to hand. And that's the only way, because we know for the fact that the council do not have money to service everywhere. So we are just at the moment carrying on with the work by patching. If there's problem in Kaumashu, a team goes there and fix. In the meantime, there's problem in Newlands, then you might have a problem in South Coast Road. So all these things, you know, and you've got teams. Even if you bring outsource, you do not have enough money to service everybody.
Looking at another message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed, you are one of the best, and I really enjoy you. You're a man of truth. Keep up the great work. I want to tell you, Ahmed, that I've been having a lot of complaints from my families and friends about Metro Police. They are very unreasonable. They don't listen to reason. They are there to make money. And they also have a certain gentleman who is obnoxious and rude. What do I do? I went to the department and they said, just pay your fine and forget it because you can't do anything. But Ahmed, surely if I tell you, you'll do something for me. Ahmed?
So Shafat, for that brother day, he must first and foremost, he must put a sequence of events, meaning for how long he's been harassed, how many fines he's got, why he's got the fine. Put a sequence of events, and then he can come and see me, and I'll show him how to write a letter. We'll even assist him to put the letter through, and then we will send it to the commander of the Metro Police, and then we will ask them to investigate, and we will get, you know, normal investigation period is like 30 days. Then we will find out from them what is the reason and why is this thing. If we do not get any joy from there, then we got other structures where you can take this matter up, and then they will do a investigation on the whole Metro Police way stemming out from. It could be from a small spark, we can get a big investigation done, and a lot of other people could be implicated in a similar thing like that. So this is the way we have to tackle it, Shafat.
The brother has a second question. He says, and brother Shafat, Mafa, they whip for the big taxios, but the wee small fish, they go all the way and make us on gabrat mode. And not forgetting those innocent vendors, they take the clothes and they throw it here, there, and everywhere. And those people are crying, Ahmed. They're crying, and these people are not listening. What do we do then, Ahmed?
Because the vendors are concerned, Shabbat. First, the very most important thing, vendors, you know, you get one vendor today. By if you start on Monday, you got one vendor. By Friday, you'll have about 10 vendors there. Now, you know, vendors just come and occupy your streets, your pavements and all, and they'll leave the dirt and everything. That is the reason why the city is saying and the council is saying that you must apply for a permit. And if you got a permit, there is a demarcated area for you only. So you go there, and then when you finish with your sales for the day, when you're done with the day, then you clean up that area, and then you leave, and that is your area. So you have to do things in the right way, because you can't just make people just come there and they just want to do what they want to do. And that's where we at the moment, we're very, very harsh. And you'll see in the last 2 weeks, you know, all those hijacked buildings, what we have done. We cleaned them out. We caught Nigerians, Malawi, Bangladesh, Pakistanis. We cleaned them out. We took everything. We left it on the road. And then we said, there's it. End of story. We are done with you. So all these things are happening at the moment. We have to get these things. You have to put law and order in place. Otherwise, if you don't do that, it's free for all now. You see, this is the problem we're going to be faced with then.
Okay, this message says, Assalamu alaikum, my bhai Shafat. I like this man, Ahmed. He's a great man to have. My cousin from Bangladesh in Eastern Cape buy Lord's building. He get good price. If Ahmed give good price, I come buy here in Durban too. I have some money. Please, Ahmed bhai, how much is one building? How much is one building? This guy wants to do a deal with you, Ahmed. Talk to him.
Shafat, firstly, I'm a counselor. I'm not a property agent or property letting agent or anything like that, number one. Number two, firstly, this Bangladeshi must make sure his paperwork is everything. He's a permanent resident of this country. He's got ID before he can buy yet. Thirdly, we are tracking back at the moment. Let me give all our Bangladeshis, our Pakistan brothers, and Malawi brothers, I give them a heads up. I'm giving them a heads up and advance notice. All those brothers that came into South Africa thought they had a free ride, married local South Africans, right? Those days are numbered, because we have gone back. They're going to go back for 10 to 12 years, and they want to do a proper investigation how you came. What you came for? You came for the purpose of just getting married in South Africa and becoming a South African here, and for business purposes. All that is coming to an end now. Home Affairs have jacked up the system. The insurance industry is going to assist the Home Affairs with new equipment where they can be able to go on the road, and when they stop a Bangladeshi or a non-South African, if he feels that he's not a South African. Even if you are a South African, you must have your ID, because he'll just scan it on that system and he will tell him you are a legal guy or an illegal guy in the country. So we are putting things in place. So there's going to be a lot of things happening in the next 6 to 8 months before the election. They are cleaning things up here, because end of the day, it will come to a stage you will have more foreigners in this country than the local people. Because when we say we got 55 million people in South Africa, to my knowledge, at the moment from the stats and the people we've been talking around, we have got something in the region of 20 million foreign nationals in this country. Nowhere in any other country, normally the ratio is always between 10 and 15%. But here in this country, it's like almost coming to 50% of the normal residents of this country. So it is a problem. We have to put proper systems in place. We say we don't have a problem. Because of the apartheid days, the ANC government, they assisted them and everything. We don't have a problem. But you have to be properly legalized in this country with the proper document to say that you came here. Even because you needed greener pastures, we don't have a problem that long as you have got your paperwork in place, you'll be okay. But if you don't have your paperwork in place, there's a lot of things going to happen. You are going to be deported. That's what's going to happen.
Harun says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. You are really a man of truth and a lot of like a breath of fresh air. I really enjoy you a lot. Please, Ahmed, I want to tell you, you are absolutely right with your statistics when you come about the figure about there being more foreigners here than locals. And I can tell you that as a local, that when I go into the Durban CBD, I feel like I'm a foreigner, although I'm a South African by birth, because the language they speak and the way they look at me, like I am dirt. Please, Ahmed, they better stop this, because I feel injured in my own country I'm treated like a foreigner and they speak in languages that I don't understand. Please, Ahmed, how can you help me? How do you help Harun, Ahmed?
So what, this is all boiling to stemming out from these people are here in this country. I don't have a problem. We think Action SA, my party, is very, very serious in, when it comes to foreign national in our country. We are saying, you know, to balance the country, we need investment, yes. But these type of investment is at the moment, this is not an investment. This is actually looting. These foreigners are coming into our country. They are working here, Shafat. They got businesses. They, you know, some of them businesses, they haven't got one business. They got two, three businesses. A friend of mine came on Friday to me. He brought a purchase and sale agreement. He said, Ahmed bhai, please read through this thing here. I'm buying a building in Amgeni Road. How much is it? About 4.5 million or something. See, there's everything, this land, whoever I'm buying, it's okay. There's no defects in the, in the building or anything. So I gave him an architect's number. I said, get hold of this person. Go and tell him, pay him or whatever his fees is. He will have a look at it, whether that building is perfect or not, because I'm not an architect. But I will go, then I will read through your paperwork to see if it's okay. Do that first step. So they are coming here. They are coming and buying in the country, in our country. But you must understand one thing. They come here, Shafat. They're not registered with SARS. They pay absolutely not 1 cent tax, number one. Number two is they got two, three businesses. Whatever money they make, some of them do not even have banking, business banking accounts or anything like that. Everything they buy is cash and they sell for cash, and that's how they do business. And then what happens in the end is that whatever money they make, it goes back to their country. So this country has not got any benefits here because, firstly, he's living like a king compared to what he should be living in his own country. And he's got, you know, alhamdulillah, he's got quite a few businesses here and everything. He made things happen. Like our South Africans are lazy in getting up at 6 in the morning and going and doing the work or anything. But they are workers. So that's where they're making money. And if they're making money, so they have to pay taxes too. What about the roads that they're using? They're using our sewage system. They're using our electricity. That is also, you must understand, our system was for X amount of people in the country. And you get an additional 20-30% of foreign national coming into the country. You need more electricity, you need more water, you need everything you need more of. So that's where we're also coming short, because we have not accounted for the input of foreign national coming into the country, at what level and what we have to do. You have to do a feasibility to say, you know what, will this country able to sustain so many thousand people? This is our issue, that so many million people, not thousand, million people additional to what we have. So all those things you have to take into account. And you'll see that is the other reason why our conditions of our roads are so bad too, because a lot of the people, they got trucking business. Look at, if you go to Clarewood and some of these areas at the moment, there is no road left there because these trucks are cleaning the whole roads. You know, you get big 18-ton load, you take 14-ton load, all these things damage the road as well, Shafat.
You know, Ahmed, you're very eloquent indeed, and actually they're taking its toll. The other day I was driving out of Spingo Beach and looked at there's trucks all over. They put, you know, new blocks and new paving and all that. Guess what, Ahmed? Their trucks are knocking those things down, left, right, and center. So I said, hey, I don't know what they're spending the money, but it's getting... who does the planning? Who does all the town planning? When the trucks are there, they have to ask for permits, or do they... You know, if there's a truck that's, you know, the warehouse has a lot of trucks coming through to it, surely they need a permit, Ahmed. But who's watching this? Who's manning all this, Ahmed?
Firstly, this industrial area, they got their own trucking business and everything. So what the council is doing at the moment, we are checking up how much of usage, how big it is business, whether he's got a business can only take 15 trucks, but he's bringing 40 trucks. And that is causing a big problem for us as well. And if you go all over the city, you'll find, if you're going from Clearwood right up to Spingo, that way you will find, and you go to North Coast, you'll find the containers upon containers. There's millions of containers, and you saw what happens in the floods when all these containers and all that, because of there's so much of weight and the ground lifted up, and these containers were swimming right from the airport right up to Spingo Beach. And this is what happens, Shabbat. So all these things, we learned our lessons in these two floods we had recently, how many people died in these floods as well. And we are taking account of this thing. So, at the same time, the council, we can only do so much, but we need the cooperation from the industries as well.
Another message here says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I live in the South Coast, and I can tell you, after the floods, the roads have not been done up properly. I was even sad to see the other day, the palm trees that are near the airport, they all died. I was so sad. Even those big tankers, what are they being used for? This government is useless. Please, Ahmed, do something.
My brother, we can only do so much. When there is 55 billion put into the city on the 1st of July, when you got a deficit of anything between 25 and 30 billion, whatever money came in, we have to pay our previous debt. And then when you had the 12th of April, the floods came in, you have got another bill of another 35, 40 billion for repair and renovations to the infrastructure. That's where we are at the moment. And the national government has not given us any money to assist to get this city up and going quick as possible. So that's where our problem. We can make this city what it used to be, the second best city in the world. It can come, but the cooperation, the government need to play its part. The city needs to play its part. The community need to play its part. And we can make this thing happen, Shafa. There's no way we can't make the city the best city again.
You know, Ahmed, I got so many questions here. I don't know which one to take, because each one, like, they're getting me in the corner here. This one, that one. Yeah. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. Straight talk rocks. I want to tell you, Ahmed, I got a cousin. He's a Lani. I'm not jealous. Allah Pak, I'm not jealous. But Ahmed, this Lani cousin of mine, only got foreigners working for him. He pays them peanuts. Then he's got a cellar at home. And in the cellar, they all stay there. He's such a conjuicy that he takes out their rental from the cellar and from his cellar accommodation, and then he pays them. He's such a conjuicy that he hasn't even have them registered. I want to spreek him to you, Ahmed. When can I meet you?
Ahmed. But he's putting me in a corner as well. One bullet would be coming for me to this now.
Astaghfirullah.
He must do the honorable thing. If he thinks anybody, I say to anyone, it's an open thing. If there is anything that is not right, you have to, people do so much. If they can play on in the cell phones, on the WhatsApp for hours, simple. Now, every small, even a small child today knows how to type. You take my granddaughter, she's almost two. She knows how to type and all that. So, Shabbat, so people know how to type. And most of them got computers and all that. It's very easy. And you don't even have to send a letter. You don't even have, if you want a copy, you print it out. But you send an email to the city manager. You send an email to the speaker's office. You send an email to the metro police. You send an email to Home Affairs. Everything is there. If you just Google there, you'll find everything. Metro Police is there, SAP is there, which area. It gives you every single thing. So it will take you less than 5 minutes to send one email. And you wait and see what happens. And if you don't get joy, then you come to us as well. We will also expedite it, and we'll take them on, because we say, now we got proof of something that somebody has reported. We did not get this response, and we want to know from the city manager why.
Yeah, we noticed that there was another, a councillor's brother that was shot in Bayview. Ahmed, any of your thoughts there? And I believe Action SA says they will put Joburg right Talk to us about that scenario, Ahmad.
Shafat, firstly, let's start with Jobers. Jobers, there is a coalition. From day one, it was a coalition government because ANC did not win the majority. Secondly, DA cannot be trusted. They say one thing in the morning, in the afternoon, they'll tell you another thing. They went and we did a coalition, and the coalition was working very well. But because the ANC couldn't get their way, right? So they went now, they went and went with EFF. They got the support of the EFF, and they got themselves and a few smaller parties. They outburst the mayor of Joburg, and they brought in one of their mayors again now. So this is what actually happened. So there's a breakdown by not anybody, by Action SA. Action SA is the only party we are standing for the truth, like me. If it's white, it's white. If it's black, it's black. We are standing by the truth, and we say this is how it has to work. And you know what? They still got the devious way in doing things, and especially the DA. They cannot be trusted, number one. Number two is, whenever they make an agreement, they go and break the agreement. And this is the problem that we are faced with. And then they are not realizing, come 2024, they're not going to be the biggest opposition party, because that is going to be written on the wall. It's history for them. And we are coming very, very strong. We should be, actually, I say, will be the second biggest party in the country come 2024. So this breakdown is being caused by the DA and nobody else. So that's where the problem is. There's nothing you can do about it. Now they want to go to court. They say it was illegal. The mayor was thrown out illegally. And all. They can go through the court and all. But what went through the system in the council, the proper voting process took place and all, because the ANC went and brought support from the other smaller parties and EFF to assist them. And this is what happened. Even if we abstained from the voting, it couldn't have made any difference because they had the numbers.
Yeah, Ahmed, I'm telling you, there's so much of questions. I'm going to keep you for another 10 minutes. You don't mind, eh? Because we have to do justice. I mean, you know, straight talk. Hey, you give me overtime, Ahmed. Yeah, there's a question here. Okay, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. Please tell me, what am I right? The other day, whilst I was walking in Durban, a taxi drove past and they spat on my face. I am so humiliated. I didn't know what to do. But what are my rights, Ahmed? Who do I report this to?
Shafan, firstly, if that brother from a taxi, somebody who ever spat on him or anything, if he's got that taxi's registration, we got some leg to stand to. Then, and then if he have, if he definitely it was done, then obviously you got, he definitely has got right. He have to report it to the South African Police Services, and then there will be a docket open. But you must have proof that from that taxi. Now, in a taxi, you got 16 passengers or 18 passengers. So how are you going to identify who's that body? That's another thing. So you know what? I think in this case here, the poor brother has got a very weak case unless he knows who it is. Obviously, to open a case, you need the registration of the taxi. You need to know who's spat on it. So how do you go and investigate a case when you don't have the recipient, who's the person was involved in this?
Chef, remember the lovely show. You know who I am. I live in your town, Chef. I want to tell Ahmed, Civic Hall still hasn't been vacated. What do we do, Ahmed?
Okay. But as Civic Hall is concerned, you saw what happened in Westville, Civic Center. Those people were moved and the accommodation was not ready. They had 5-star at the Royal Hotel for about two or 3 days, and they were taken out again. And now they have got a temporary resident in Reservoir Hills. Now I see this morning's test, Sunday Tropium, and the ratepayers of Reservoir Hills as well as the residents are up in arms. Why these people, they're housing them here? So that's the one issue. So the Civic Center in Westville, Those people are moved out already, so that's a good part. They are moving. They had till the 30th of September to move all those people that were living in all the halls. So I think we are running behind because the problem is when the temporary residence was promised to us, the guys have not delivered on time. So those people will be moved. In fact, we had booking from September, October, right up to end of December, January, for the usage. People pay the deposit and all to the use of this civic hall, civic centers. But unfortunately, some of the deposit have to be returned to the people that who have paid the deposit. So because of the issues that we are facing, but I think the way forward, yes, they will be moved. Now I can't tell you whether it's this week, next week, but the things are definitely happening because I'm on top of it in council with this matter here.
This question says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I'm a registered restaurant owner and also takeout. But Ahmed, I noticed a lot of people are cooking and serving food from home. This hurts me because I pay for my license and I pay for all my other things that I have to do. But these people, they just work from home, don't even have to pay their license and so forth. What do I do in this case, Ahmed? I'm a bit bitter. Ahmed?
So we must understand one very important factor here. There's a lot of, from 2020, a lot of people were retrenched. They had no income at all. And then now the wife has to fend to support the family of two, three. They got a house bond. They got electricity, light, water. So these people, what they have started all over the country, this is not only here in KZN, it is all over the country. People have started a home industry, what you call. People are baking cakes. They're making food at home. They're making, they have got a small pop-up system where they go on a Saturday and Friday evenings, and they go and sell up. That is an honest way of making livelihood. That's number one. Secondly, Rosi Rizq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell a brother also, you know what is written for him, you can have, you know, in the old days, Shafar, if you went to Grey Street, Victoria Street, Prince Edward Street, Grey Street, if you went from Queen Street going up to Leopold Street, or you're going to Commercial Road, you'll see only men's outfitters, one next to another. And you'll have shoe shops, one next to another. Everyone made business in those days, and they still, people now, even now too, you'll see how many clothing shops next to one another. What is written for you, that's what you want to get. So far, you can come from midnight, you can start your business right to the next day, midnight, you'll see. But you can say, you know what, I'm going to earn so much. What is written for you? That's the amount you want to get. You're not going to get 1 cent more or 1 cent less. It's written for you. That's what you want to get. So those brothers and sisters who are operating from home, it is a home industry. It is a fact of life at the moment. They are spending for themselves. There's nothing much we can do. And in fact, they're making hak halal rozi. So you cannot close that up, Shafar.
No, well said then. Wallahu khayrul razikeen. And Allah is the best of our providers. This question says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I know I've been reading about this article, and it's even mentioned in these Sunday newspapers that there are so much of electricity being stolen from Itikweni that you guys have lost the war. What other war have you lost, Ahmed? Ahmed, how do you respond to that, brother?
Shabbat, there's two aspects to that question. Number one, there's a huge corporate theft, which we haven't lost that war. Because there's a lot of people that are being put behind bars for that. Even the buyer, the guy who is buying the copper, he's put behind bars as well. So that is the big plus factor. So the guy who is stealing copper, goes and sell it, there's no more buyer left anymore because that man is behind bars as well. And now we have caught a whole lot of them. So there's a big investigation. From that investigation, take Williton Oil in Joburg. They came there with gunpoint and they took 3 truck loads of cooking oil, 2-liter cooking oil. There's a reward of 100,000 went out. One truck already they discovered with 12 people detained. Now from that 12 people, Shafat, in no time, you will find, you will get a linkage there where the other two trucks are. Coming this week, you will find, they will find those trucks and where that thing, where the oil is, unless it's gone over cross border, then it might be a mission. But that too, those bottles of 2 liter oil has got a barcode on it and it's got a batch number. So that the owners of Willerton Oil will be able to track that thing down sooner or later, somewhere along the line. Because when you send, you, when the reps are going and bringing oil, they will also go and check how much of oil they have got in the shop, and they'll pick up one, the batch number, and they will get caught, whether it's not now, a couple months down the line. It has to go, it will float among the community and all that. So somebody is going to see that batch number and say, you know what, I went and bought it from Joe Block supermarket. So that's how the linkage we get. So from these people who we got these copper thefts, we call them, we have already got enough evidence who is buying, who the kingpins are. So that is like how we got the mastermind behind the Home Affairs issuing of false passport, ID, and documentation. So that, and he gave us a rundown how many years he's dealing for the last 12 years with this year. So we have now already put a team in place, a task team, to track down right through how the marriage they brought the South, they married the South African, how they got the papers, who did the papers, who in the inside was sanctioning the papers and signing it, not logging it on properly, all that, we have all the information. So that make our life easy. So things will get right in that sense. And then those people are using free electricity. They're stealing from the poles, then they're stealing from neighbors' property. They know where the main meter box is, and they're pulling from there. If the neighbors don't know where that thing is coming from, they're so sharp in these things. And some of these people are workers from the Tigmini municipality who are assessing these people what to do and all that. So even there too, our investigation team, we have now put in place for all these things to curb it. You have to get the right people to do it. Now, like how we're getting all the buildings, we have got what we call a blackjack, Metropolis, SAP, with the Department of Home Affairs, and all the departments, when we sweep on that place, we take everything out one time, and that's what we are doing at the moment.
Okay, this is a message. Yusuf says, Assalamu alaikum, straight talk, already rocks. Ahmed, bap re bap, Ahmed, once again, there's a strike, and now our harbors are striking. What is going on, Ahmed? Durban Harbor is becoming a graveyard, and now the whole world is waiting for the coal. Europe is waiting for our coal. Now we can't supply them with the coal. Talk to us, Ahmed. What is Itikweni going to do? And it seems as if the government is being hijacked by, once again, the trade unions. Ahmed?
Firstly, the coal is not getting dispatched from Durban, so it gets dispatched from Richards Bay. All coal is being dispatched from Richards Bay. Far as the strike is concerned, yes, you know, you know the workers have got their rights, the unions, they have been affiliated to the union, and this is what happens. Now, the union, they'll find anything to just go and bring the city to a standstill. And what they did on Friday, Kasato had a strike. Now they're now attacking Transnet for their workers. They're not happy with the 3% increase of the salary. Now these things, you know, whether the country is running smooth anywhere in the world, this is what you always have. People want increase, and they do not get the increase, they go and toy. But unlike the South African Police Department, Metro Police, you get some of the other government department of health, you're not allowed to go, because one of the criteria there, when before you even start work, you sign that you cannot go on strike or anything. There's proper negotiations to be done before you do anything like that. So that is it. But when it comes to this railway workers or your Transnet and all that, they have got the rights. So this is what we see at the moment. So it's before the table, they are not prepared to accept 3%, and they want more. So I don't know what's going to happen. So I hope what's going to also, the big this is disadvantage we're going to be finding now ourselves in. All the containers are going to be delayed. A lot of Christmas goods have been shipped from overseas for the retail sector. That is going to be delayed. So that is going to be a huge problem. And a lot of clothing industry is going to be heavily affected here because all the fabric, and if you get 2-3 weeks delay, the chain stores is going to start canceling, and that is going to be a big devastating effect on the clothing industry as well.
Absolutely brilliant. But your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, our homegrown Nazir Vanya, you know, he won the first Indian in South Africa to win the Ironman competition last week, Sunday. You know, he did the marathon.
They call it the triathlon.
So, you know, Ironman, you know, one of our own homegrown, you know, he did
too good.
Well done, Shafat. You know, I'm pleased that I played soccer with Nazir, and what a foot at the age of 60, still foot. And I told him, that, you know, when we had a Bri recently, and I told him, hey, Nazir, he told me, hey, Munro, I'm going for the Ironman. I said, you know, you will do it because you see your body and the training you do, the cycling you do. And he did very, very well. I'm so proud of him that, you know, he made it right till the first Indian. That is more important for me, that he's the first South African Indian to do the Ironman competition and win it. That's a feather in his cap, Shafa.
Well, he's a beach boy. I played a lot of cricket with Nazir. Hey, Nazir, we embrace you. We celebrate you. Keep on. I watch him cycling every morning. He's cycling and he's there. He's the same Nazir. You know, the same about you, Ahmed. It was your Janam Din a few days ago, but you still look as young as ever. The same with Nazir. There's something about the beach boys. There's something about them. Ahmed, you have a lovely, beautiful, mashallah, day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.